Okay. Good morning, everyone. So just for tomorrow, Shabbos afternoons, assuming everyone's here, or we're here. Let me see. So we're going to have a half an hour before Menucha.
I'm away for Shabbos.
What's that?
I'm away for Shabbos.
You're away.
Very rare occurrence.
Very rare that he's away.
Yeah.
I know. That's for sure.
Once or twice a year.
Your call has been for...
Okay. And I believe there's a shear here, so we'll meet upstairs outside the Snashim. Okay, so we're on to Daf Dalamud Aleph, which is a really beautiful Amud on many levels.
I'm guessing you're not taping tomorrow's show.
What's that?
I guess you're not taping tomorrow's show.
Right. And then just for Sunday, because I'm in Yeshiva Sunday morning, I'll tape it most Shabbos and then send it out so people want to gather here Sunday morning. They can listen or do whatever they want.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara says before that the Chachamim came to David when David sort of woke up. He didn't really wake up. I mean, he was up, you know. He was, you know, Misnanim Kusos. He was learning Torah. Then he was singing shiurs with Tishbachos. And after all that, he then had the Chachamim coming to him and saying, "Listen, David Melech, forget about all your Shiras to Shishbachos, the people don't have enough food to eat." So he gave them the eight. They says, "Well, just have the wealthy people give to the poor people." They said, "Listen, there's not enough wealthy people to go around. There's not enough money to go around. We need another Eitzah." So David HaMelech says that you should go attack the sort of neighboring nations and use that as an opportunity to plunder the spoils, so to speak. So the Gemara says in the bottom of Gimel and Beis, that he said that, and then they left. This is four lines from the bottom. Miad Yoetzim Achitofel. They went to go ask aides from Achitofel as far as how they would approach the Umas Olam. Vinim Lachem B'Sanhedrin, and then they also got a sort of a psak from the Sanhedrin. V'Sholim Bo Rumetumim, and then they also went. They consulted the Rumetumim, and by the way, this is somewhat interesting. You know, maybe in one's mind's eye, they would say, sort of, David HaMelech is the person. If you go to David HaMelech, David HaMelech says, attack the Gudud. So they sort of got the sort of the overall aids from David, but then they made three other pit stops. You know, you first have to go to the Achitofel, then you go to the Sanhedrin, then you go to the Urim Tumim. You know, it wasn't just sort of, okay, David says something, we're going to go off, which also sort of shows you the nature of the Jewish monarchy. The Jewish monarchy was not sort of, you know, Saddam Hussein, right? It was David as being sort of one piece of the apparatus of Jewish leadership, which in a way is obviously the way that it always should be. You know, you should never sort of leave power in the hands of like one person, you know, even if that one person was David HaMelech. Okay, so so that's what the Pasuk says. So Mikra, where do we see this in the Pasuk? So the Pasuk says, Dichsid Yachri Achitofel, after they went to Achitofel, Beno Ben Yehuda, V'Yaviyasar, V'Sar Tzavah. Okay, and then they went to the general. Right after all that, they went to Yoav. Achitofel ze Yoetz. Why did they go to Achitofel? Achitofel was known to be, and this is mentioned several times in Shmuel Beis, the sort of the wise counsel. So he was the Yoetz. V'cheinu omer v'yatzas Achitofel asher Yoetz b'yamim mahem kasher yishal b'dvar Elohim. Right, when you want to find out what God said, so they would go to Achitofel. First line in Dalam and Aleph. So Beno Ben Yehuda is the Sanhedrin. He's the head of Sanhedrin. Ve'Yosar Elu Urim B'Tumim. Okay, so V'chein Homer, and the Pasuk says in regards to Beno Ben Yehuda, Beno Ben Yehuda Al HaKreisi Al HaPleisi. Very, well-known expression, that he was the head of the Kreisi U'Pleisi. The Kreisi U'Pleisi is referring to the Sanhedrin. V'Lama Nikra Shmam Kreisi U'Pleisi, why was the Sanhedrin known as the Kreisi U'Pleisi? So Kreisi, Shekorasim Divrehem, that they were able to sort of sharpen or make sort of like definitive statements of what to do. I mean, they were able to sort of be very definitive. It wasn't wishy-washy, maybe this, maybe that. No, you went to the Sanhedrin, you're able to get like a clear cup sack. So Plesi, Shemuflaim B'divrehem, that their words were wondrous, right? And this also seems to refer to the fact that something that's discussed in the Gemara and the Ramban, that the words in the Sanhedrin were not just sort of the words of a judicial court, but they were reflecting sort of the Dvar Hashem and the words of Kesh Baruch Hu, right? That this is, when you would go to the Sanhedrin, it's like going in front of the Dvar Hashem, and that's part of what actually informs the discussion. I'm not sure if anybody here, probably not Avi as a dentist, but I'm not sure what it was Shin Shol, about ever so having to go to Beis Din before in judicial matters. That's why we're so serious about going to a Beis Din, because we view Beis Din, in theory, as a Dvar Hashem. To some degree, not to get into this whole discussion now, the Dayanim themselves and the process themselves have to live up to that, those lofty ideals as well. But this sort of tells you a little bit about the way we view going into a judicial court, that it's placey, that it's shemufloim b'divreim. Okay, so v'yachakach, after they went to the Sanhedrin, sort of skipping the stage, but they went to the Urim B'Tumim, as we said before, v'yachakach sartzava l'melch Yoav. Then they went to Yoav. Again, it wasn't sort of David who was doing that, it was the sort of the heads of the community that went to Yoav and said, Yoav, you know, David said that we should attack sort of the neighboring nations. And by the way, none of this is getting into a discussion about the parameters of Mechemes Rishos. And obviously this is a real sort of topic of Yonid Yoma. Obviously in Yonid Yoma, this is clearly Mechemes Mitzvah. It's not even a Shaila. But what is the Mechemes Rishos versus the Mechemes Mitzvah? Is expanding the borders of Eretz Yisrael, is that a Mechemes Mitzvah, is it a Mechemes Rishos? When can you wage a Mechemes Rishos, or Mechemes Mitzvah for that matter? Who's able to decide that, right? Like, all of those issues are things that would be relevant to this Gemara, you know, in regards to the nature of Muhammad and how Jews fight Muhammad.
Couldn't they just do business like with other countries? That's what I'm thinking.
Couldn't they just do business with other countries?
Like
I said, they did, but I'm wondering
the same thing.
Well,
need money to go into a war?
Sure.
Need money.
Right,
Jews,
right.
Jews are going to die from it.
Well, look, you know, look, let's just say, in theory, the question that people can hear, you know, why wage war? In other words, Jews know how to make business probably a lot better than at least equally as well, if not better, than waging war. But if you sort of think about, let's say, even, you know, Bismaneno and the Baruch Hashem situations now with Saudi Arabia, where Saudi Arabia are improving, and with this country, with Egypt stabilizing, but that's certainly not true, you know, 30, 40 years ago. You couldn't go to your neighbors and say, okay, can we make a deal on this pipeline of X, Y, and Z? But it's only a good question, and we do have examples that discuss the Gemara Yevamos and other places, especially during the time of David and Shlomo, of people who want to do business because it was considered to be a very wealthy time. In fact, the Mishnah Gemara talks about people who wanted to convert during this time, and we wouldn't take Gerim because people, Klai Yisrael, especially during the time of Shlomo, were so successful, we said, no, you can't convert just so you can sort of reap the spoils of being part of the Jewish nation. So, you know, there were people who wanted to do business, but clearly David felt that at that time was not an option. Okay, so the Gemara is going to go sort of back to a previous topic. So, Amar Yitzchak bar Ado, v'yamri lo, Amar Yitzchak braid the Rav Idi, so Mikra. So, what's the pasuk that alludes to the fact that David HaMelech got up sort of in the middle of the night with the melodious sound of his harp? So, Ura Kvodi, Ura, Haneva V'chinor, Ayir Shachar. So, like, you know, waking up to my Kvodi, to my sort of respected one. So Hanevel v'chinor a'ira shachar. The Nevel and the Chinor will sort of like awaken me to the shachar. Okay, Rabbi Zera Amar, and now we're going back before, because we said that David woke up at Chatzos. How did David know when Chatzos was? And Moshe only sort of knew kichatzos, right? Okay, and we discussed that a little bit on Gimel and Beis. Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe lolom havayada, v'David nami havayada. Moshe knew exactly when it was Chatzos, and David also knew exactly when it was Chatzos. But before we go on, it does play a role in halacha, the fact that keeping time was something that was very, very sort of difficult at a certain point. How do you know exactly when time is? You know, there's no watches, there's no clocks, there's no iPhones, there's no anything. People would use sundials. Sundials, in theory, sound like something which is very inexact. In fact, by the way, there's a shita of the Rambam that says you have to wait kishay sha'os between meat and milk. So some people learn the Rambam and they say kishay sha'os. It doesn't literally mean 6 hours. It means like 6 hours, and maybe that means 5 hours in a minute. You know, around 6 hours, right? So other people say the Rambam, no. Pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam didn't exactly know how to keep time. Rabbi couldn't say 6 hours exactly. Nobody knew when 6 hours was exactly. So he said kishay shows because people did not know exact timing. But either way, the Gemara says here that David knew exactly when Chatzos was, and Moshe knew when Chatzos was. So that was the case. So the game did David have a yada? David knew exactly when Chatzos was. Kinor lamalei. Why did he then need the harp and the ruach noshaves from the tzafon from the south? So Gemara says very simply, Lissuri Mishnasai. I mean, he knew when Chatzos would have been, but he was sleeping. Right? This was the a very, very, very expensive alarm clock. So the came into Moshe Havayada, Lamala Lemay Mark Chatzos. So, and if in fact Moshe knew exactly when Chatzos was, why did he tell the Mitzurim Kich Chatzos, like Chatzos? So Gemara gives like a very fundamental answer. So Moshe Kasavar, Shema Yitu, it's the Nigne Paro. So maybe the. You know, the people who work for Paro, the Tzanigni, the, what's it called? You know, the sorcerers, the magicians who are trying to always sort of, you know, predict the future. Maybe they'll make a mistake. So V'yomru, and then they're going to sort of get Chatzos wrong. And then they'll say, Moshe Badayu. Moshe is like a, he's a charlatan, right? He's a, you know, he was a liar. He was, right? And therefore, Moshe didn't want to take the chance of anybody thinking, that God was wrong, or that he was wrong, or that he wasn't speaking the MS. So to sort of not take that chance, he says kichatzos. He was like sort of covering all of his bases. And the Gemara says, Yamar Mar, Lomar Loshoncha Lomar, you should always sort of train yourself to say, Eini Yodea, you know, I don't know, right? Shema Tisbadim Teachis. Maybe people are going to think that, you know, you are a Badai, you're not trustworthy, Teachis, they're going to grab onto your words. Namely, a person should say that, you know, they're not sure. You never ever want to sort of even take the smallest chance of propagating the idea of Sheker in the world, right? And the Maharal points out over here that even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that eventually the Itzdanigni would realize, but would realize that it was Chatzos, so therefore there would only be even a Hashash of Sheker for a short period of time. Even a chashash sheker for a short period of time, you don't want to sort of introduce that into the world. So it's better to say, I don't know. As mentioned, the Pelioids takes a different approach here, a little bit different approach. And the Pelioids list this as one of the cases where a person is actually allowed to be mishaker. Somebody comes to me and they say, you know, Josh, or blessed, you know, X, Y, and Z, I'm allowed to say Eini Yodea, even if I do know, right? I mean, sometimes you train yourself to say, you know, in the case where you do know, because there might be, what's that?
Should have questions.
Right. I tell you this like literally every single day this comes up in my life. So you say, you know, because something. Either you don't want to sort of end up thinking someone that you're lying or whatever the situation might be, but he lists, Pelioites in the list of cases where you're allowed to sort of tell an untruth, so to speak. Okay. So Gemara says, Ravashi Omar, the sort of the last shot. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say Kichatzos if he really didn't know when Chatzos was? Ravashi Omar, Bhauga Orsad, Tlesar Nagi of Arbasar. This is sort of midnight when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking. It's midnight of the day 13 going into 14. And what does he say? Havikai. He's like standing at that moment. He's speaking on the night of the 13th. V'halchi kamar Moshe l'Yisrael. Moshe says this to Yisrael. Omar kash baruch hu l'machar ki chatzos halayla. Ki ha'idna ani yotzei b'sdoch Mitzrayim. Tomorrow night at chatzos, light tonight. Right? I mean, he's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. Ki chatzos, namely, he's referencing where he's sort of speaking right now. Ki chatzos doesn't mean that it's inexact. It's saying, like this chatzos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come tomorrow night. By the way, anybody seeing a problematic statement? V'hachi kamar Moshe l'Yisrael, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'machar, k'chatzos halayla, k'ya'idna, ani yotzei b'sdoch Mitzrayim.
Isn't it the Paro?
Exactly. So if you take a look, if you have like the newer version, which actually Avi does, you see if there's a bays. So if you see the bays over there, it says, B'yalkut Shimoni Parish, Parshas Bo, he takes out the Yalkut Shimoni, this word l'Yisrael. Right? I mean, there's a change of girsa. The Yalkut Shimoni probably has a more authentic girsa. He wasn't speaking to Paro. He wasn't speaking to Yisrael. He was speaking to Paro in the Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Yalkut Shimoni has like a different girsa in this Gemara. Okay, fine. So, vayt in the Gemara. So, L'David Shomer Nafshi Ki Chasid Ani. So, David is speaking about himself. To David, Shomer Nafshi, keep my soul protected ki chassid ani, because I am a chassid, right? I am a righteous person. And what does it mean that David HaMelech was saying about himself that he's a chassid? So he says, Levi Rebbe Yitzchak. This is a machlokes between Levi and Rebbe Yitzchak. Chad Amar Kach Amar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One opinion says that this is what David said in front of Ribono Sholom. Ribono Sholom, lo chassad ani. Am I not a righteous person? Shekol Malchei Mizrach Uma'arav Yishenim Ad Shalosh Sha'os. That my other sort of my peers, the other kings, are sleeping until 9 o'clock in the morning. Vanichatos laila akum lo dos lachat, and I'm getting up in the middle of the night to sing shiras v'shishbachos. In other words, can you maybe view me in a favorable way? And by the way, some before Shmuel discuss here why was it important for David to sort of call himself a chassid? You know, why is he sort of advocating for himself? What were the circumstances where he needed to almost declare and advocate for his righteousness? Okay, so that's like the first pshat. Why did David call himself a chassid? Because he's saying, I got up to be mishbeach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'idach, the other opinion, why was David call himself a chassid? So, kachamar David in Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'nei sholam, lo chassid ani? Do I not have some merit of being a righteous person? Shekol malchei mizrach umarav, sort of all the kings of the world, yoshvim agudos b'kvodam. They're sitting, like, regally on their chairs. They're being fanned with, you know, olive branches. They're just sort of sitting, enjoying sort of like the fat life of the monarchy. Vani, have a me. Yodai Mluchlochos. It's a somewhat of like a gory image, but it's very poignant in a way. My hands are dirty, bidom. What's dumb? What are we talking about? So if you look in Rashi over here, so Rashi says that the dumb is talking about Damnida, right? Here it is. Like my hands are literally dirty with blood. I'm looking at maros. The women are asking me shailas and hilchas nida. Like I'm not above that. You know, this is sort of my calling as being like the Melech Yisrael. So Ubishafir is with a miscarried baby. Whether or not there's, if you know in Gemara Nida, there's a whole discussion about what type of miscarriage would render a woman tamea. So I'm dealing with sort of these very, these very personal types of shailas. Ubishilya, the shilya was the placenta that came out of a woman, and also could be something which would be metame the woman, okay? And these are sort of the shailas that I'm dealing with. And not only kadei latar ishal baila, I cared so much about sort of the relationships between wives and their husbands, that I'm sort of almost like sinking down into this. So do I not get some merit for that? V'lo od, and it's not even like I'm getting the credit for being the posek. It's not like people are saying, oh, David HaMelech, he was mitire of me, and I went to him and I asked him the shaila, and you know, and he's so incredible. El koma shani ose, whatever shaila I get, ani nimloch b'mifivoshes. Mephibosheth was known to be sort of like his Rebbe, you know, sort of like the wise scholar of the day. I'm going and I'm consulting him by Mephibosheth. I'm not even sort of getting my own credit for it. Okay, Mephibosheth's Rebbe. So if Yomer Lo, Mephibosheth, and then Mephibosheth would tell me, because if Yomer Lo, and then Mephibosheth, V'yomer lo, and David would tell him, Mephibosheth's Rebbe, my Rebbe Mephibosheth, Yofeh Danti, did I judge correctly? Yofeh Chiyavti, or did I judge correctly in being Mechayiv a person for whatever it is? Yofeh Zachiti, in the case of, let's say, did I judge favorably in being Zoche? Yofeh Tiharti, Yofeh Timeti, was I appropriate in all of my rulings, right? V'lo Boshi. And I didn't view that as sort of like being beneath myself, right?
He only asked afterwards.
What's that?
He only asked afterwards, after he gave his psach.
Probably didn't have time to go. A guy comes and asks him a shalat to go run to his rabbi.
It's a good point. That is a good question. Yeah. So I don't know if people who are listening can hear, but you know, normally if let's say you get some type of shalat, so you would call whoever the person is before, you know, maybe this wasn't possible, you know. That might also sort of be an answer based on like a modern day conception. You know, nowadays, if I get a question which I don't know, which is often, you know, you quickly WhatsApp somebody, and then, you know, we don't know where Mephibosheth was living. It could be days later. You know, he did his best under the circumstances, But they say, by the way, that the Reb Chaim Volozhin was one of the Talmidim of the Gra, right? And you know, you had some people were Talmidim of the Gra. You had Reb Chaim Danzig, who was Reb Avraham Danzig, the Chayadam, and others as well. What did it mean that the Gra was the Rebbe Reb Chaim Volozhin? The Gra was living like a solitary life somewhere. Reb Chaim Volozhin would write down all of his questions, and then a few times a year he would go out to where the Gra, wherever he was, you know, holed up in a cabin in the woods, and he would say, "Okay, these are the 60 questions I want to ask you." Right? I mean, to be like a Rebbe at that time without communication was certainly different than what it would be, you know, bismaneinu. And to some degree, this Gemara reflects that. Right? So Gemara is a low boshti. I didn't sort of view it as being, you know, beneath myself, right? And by the way, this is something that you often see. You know, I see, let's say, my chaver in yeshiva, by Ari Leibowitz, who's a very big Talmid Chacham. He's a posek, he's a magachir, he's a tremendous Baal Halacha. You know, every day, especially now, he's calling Rav Asher Weiss about this, he's calling Shatter about this, no. You're like, no one ever gets to the point where they say, okay, I have all this covered, right? You're always sort of like consulting with somebody without busha, without saying, oh, I'm now at a point where I can do everything on my own. That's not the way that like a Gadol B'Torah thinks.
Shaul sometimes calls other architects for questions, yeah. Also.
I'm sure it's the same thing in every profession.
Right? Not only does he wake up in the middle of the night like that.
Right. Listen, if you ever get to a point in your life, even now in our 40s and 50s, where like you feel there's nothing, you can't consult somebody else, like, you know. Okay, so velo boasting, and I did not, I was not embarrassed in any way. So Gemara says, Amar Yeshua Breid Rav Idi, Mikra. So how do we sort of see that reflect in the pasuk? So v'yadaber be'edosecha negin melachim v'lo evosh. I sort of spoke be'edosecha, you know, in the edus of Hashem, namely in issues of halacha, negin melachim, sort of, I would say against melachim, but sort of maybe as opposed to the other melachim that are sort of sitting there not doing much, negin melachim. My life is filled with being medaber be'edosecha, v'lo evosh. And I wasn't embarrassed to be involved in that. I wasn't embarrassed to go to Mephibosheth, etc. So Tana. So the Tana says, lo Mephibosheth shmo. So Mephibosheth was not even his name, el Ishbosheth shmo. His name was a man of Bosheth, a man who was mevayesh somebody else. Now, doesn't that mean that he was like, no, but it meant that his words sometimes caused busha to another person. So v'lo metikri shmo Mephibosheth. So why was he then called Mephibosheth? Shaya Mevayesh or Mevayesh b'nei David b'halacha. That sometimes he would be Mevayesh David. David would say, okay, did I do the right thing? He would say, no, you didn't do the right thing. And therefore, Mephibosheth was willing to sort of correct David, even though David maybe might have been embarrassed by that, or in theory could have been embarrassed by that. And therefore, he got the name Mephibosheth because Mipi, from his mouth, came Bosheth. Okay? Fine. So Lufichach Zacha David, because David was willing to, in a way, be mekatein himself, to make himself small, be mishafa himself. Therefore, David was Zocha, Biyatzmi Menu Kilav. Kilav was one of his children and was known to be exceptionally smart. The Emor of Yochanan, lo Kilav Shmel. And his son's name was not even Kilav. That was sort of the nickname that he was given, Ela Daniel Shmo. Daniel was the name given and spoken about and referenced in Divrei Hayamim. So therefore, if his name was Daniel, why was he called Kilav? So Kilav, Shehaya Machlim Pnei Mephibosheth Bahalacha. He came and he was Kil or Kal Av. Kal Av, like Machlim, right? Av. That he came and he was almost able to best Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was sort of like the Gadol Hador that David asked questions to and was sort of Mevayish David. And then Kilav, i.e. Daniel, came and said, no, like I can sort of, not in, again, in an egotistical way, but I can certainly almost trump you now in the areas of Halacha, and therefore he was given this name of Kilav. Like, and Av is talking about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the Av as far as regards to like the Gadol Hador in Halacha. Okay, the Alav Amr Shlomo B'Chachmaso, all of us with children who are getting older, you can sort of relate to this pasuk, that this is what the Shlomo HaMelech was talking about in regards to fathers and sons. Bini, Shlomo HaMelech was almost sort of speaking as though he was his father David. Bini, right, my son, i.e. Daniel Kilav, Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi. If you become somebody who's great, And obviously, Kilav was probably even greater than David in Halacha. So Yismach Libi, right? I'll be thrilled. Speaking about Shaul, going to ask Shaul, one of the architects. You know, Shaul himself is a great architect at this point. His father was also like a gadol. And, you know, when I'm sure that your father, if he ever sees you almost surpass where he was in his career, that's like the great nachas. The father's not sitting there saying, oh, my son, how is he able to blah, 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 and I never accomplished that. So Shlomo is sort of speaking almost in the words of David, Yismach Libi, that if you become such a chacham, my heart will rejoice. Yismach Libi Gamani. Like, I'll be also myself, I'll be so overjoyed. Of Yomer, another pasuk, also for Shlomo Melech, Chacham B'ni V'Samach Libi, my son, become wise, and my heart will rejoice. V'Yashiva Chorfi Davar. Okay, so V'David Mikar L'Nafshi Chassid. Is it really true that David HaMelech referred to himself as a chassid? Okay, so Haksiv, the pasuk says, Luli Hamanti L'Ros V'Tuv Hashem Beres Chayim. If I didn't believe that I'm going to see the Tuv Hashem Beres Chayim, which the Malbim explains is talking about Olam Haba, then the Malbim says that basically David HaMelech said, okay, I would have almost fallen apart in my life. My life has been difficult, but I believed that I would see the Tuv Hashem Beres Chayim. So V'tanamish made Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakud Alulai. If you look sort of in the original writing of the Pasuk, there is Nakud. Nakud is
dots,
right? We know from Trop, right, that Trop often refers to how a person is feeling, right? So, you know, it's often a reference to the emotions of the person. Dots of the lulei means, you know, if I didn't, that he had some doubt about himself, right? Then on the word lulei, that we see there was nakud, namely he doubted his own righteousness. He doubted the fact that maybe he was going to see the Tuv Hashem Beres Chayim. So lama nakud al lulei. So Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaula Muftachani B'Chasha Tam Mishalom Schar Tov L'Tzadikim L'Zilavo. I am confident that you are going to pay back the righteous in the loss of Lavo in the future days. What an incredible statement. I'm not sure if I'm among the righteous. David Melchow, he was such, like, when we sort of say the Hillel all the time, he was such, like, a real person. You know, here he's a David Melchow saying, like, you know, I'm not even sure if I'm, like, sort of worthy to seeing Beretz Chaim. So how do we say before that he viewed himself as a chassid, if yet another pasuk says that he doubted whether or not he didn't have a schar ba'olam haba? So Gemara makes like a very sort of fascinating answer. Shema Yigro Machet. He was concerned that you're right. Maybe I was a chassid at some point, but maybe chait came to impact me. Now, the way the Rashi says over here, and this is like a long, long topic that we could speak about, is the fact that David didn't think he had any chatayim, but maybe he wasn't sure. You know, he was mesupik. Maybe there's some chait I don't know about. Maybe I did something by accident. He didn't think he did anything on purpose, but maybe b'shogeg there was something. For me personally, when I read that line, Shema Yigro Machet, I can't help but sort of think about the different opinions of Gemara and Shabbos about whether or not David thought that he did something wrong with Bathsheba. In fact, he says, Chatasi L'Hashem. I mean, David himself felt a certain guilty conscience about whatever happened, and this is a long discussion, and I recommend sort of seeing the Rishonim and the Bar Benel, but Rashi says this isn't speaking about Bathsheba, it's just sort of speaking in this general sense about chait. Okay, so to Rabbi Yaakov Ra'idi, Ramik Siv, that there's a contradiction in Sukkim. One pasuk says, Vani Anochi, Imcha v'shemarticha b'chol asher teilech. When God speaks to Yaakov, he says, I will guard you and everything, and I will keep you safe. V'ksiv, Vayir Yaakov mi'od. Another pasuk says that Yaakov was very fearful. So the answer is, why was he fearful? Omar Shem Yigur Machet, maybe something that I did wrong in my life, also sort of showing the humanity of Yaakov. Okay, I know it's 7 o'clock, but let's just sort of finish with these last three lines. Kidatanya, we have a precedent for this in another place. So the pasuk says, Ad Yavorim Cha Hashem, Ad Yavorim Zukanisa. Until I pass through the waters going into Eretz Yisrael for Kivush Rishon. So Ad Yavorim Zukanisa is the same way that I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael for Kivush Sheni when they came in to build Bayis Sheni. So Ad Yavorim Cha Hashem, Zubias Rishona, which was glorious and strong and miraculous and sort of coming into Eretz Yisrael and building up the country. Ad Yavor Am Zukanisa, Zubias Shnia. This is sort of the second time. Mikanam Rechachamim, Ru'uyim Ha Yisrael Le'asos Lehem Neis B'mei Ezra, K'derech Shenas Lehem B'mei Yeshua. There should have been the same glorious return for Bayis Sheni, which there was not. They only came back after Darius, or after sort of the Persian government, Cyrus sort of allowed them to go back. But what happened? Ela shigar mechait, right? Means something happened of sort of maybe the behavior in Bayis Rishon that now was gori mechait, and therefore Bnei Yisrael were not zocha to go back to build Bayis Sheni with the same sort of glorious nature in which they're able to go and build Bayis Rishon. Okay, thank you, everyone.